Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians, and I'm going to be reading Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the times we come to it and we find ourselves encouraged. We thank you for the times we come being reminded of the forgiveness we have in you. We thank you for the reminders of the calling you've put on us to live as your people in this world. We ask that you would be with us as we study this passage. You'd speak clearly through your word to us. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, we are continuing in our study of the book of Colossians. And as we've studied Colossians over the past few months, we've heard Paul kind of just again and again reaffirm the truth that we don't need to add anything to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul has assured us that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that there are no laws or practices that we need to add to ensure our salvation. In the book of Colossians, we have been assured that if we have come to Jesus Christ in faith and repentance, then our salvation is secure by the work that Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. And yet, as Paul begins chapter 3, he moved from assuring us of our salvation to challenging us to live lives that are consistent with our claim to follow Jesus Christ. And so in chapter 3 of Colossians, we've been challenged to put off our former lifestyles of sinfulness. We've been challenged to put on the characteristics of Christ. And now, in the final verses of chapter 3, Paul turns his attention to the Christian home. Paul wants us to understand how the gospel affects our relationships within our home, the most intimate relationships that we have in our lives. Because the truth is that it's not just our inner life that needs to be transformed by the gospel. It's also how we relate with our wife. It's how we relate with our husband. It's how we relate with our children, with our parents, because it's frequently within our families. It's our families who know us best, and they frequently get the worst of us. And as we are transformed by the gospel, as we put off the old man, as we put on the new, as Paul calls us to earlier in Colossians 3, our relationships within our family will be reshaped as well. So in Colossians 3, 18 through 4, 1, Paul gives us six commands as to how the members of a household are to relate to one another. And last week, we began studying this passage by looking at Paul's command for wives that we find in verse 18. In verse 18, Paul commanded wives to submit to their husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And as part of our discussion of that particular command, we noted that there are few commands that Paul could have given that would have been more controversial in our day and age than this command that wives submit to their husbands. And this morning, we're turning our attention to Paul's command for husbands that we find in verse 19. I'm going to read that one more time. Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." That's Paul's command. That's what he has to say for how a husband should relate to his wife. We've moved from controversy in verse 18 to a command for a husband to do something that we expect him to already be doing. For most of us, it would never have crossed our minds that we would need to tell a husband that he should love his wife and treat her well. In fact, there are a few commands that Paul could have given that would be less controversial in our day and age than a command that husbands love their wives and not be harsh with them. We hear this and we say, well, of course a husband should love his wife and not be harsh with her. Why is that even in here? So the question is, why does Paul give us this command? Why was it necessary for Paul to tell husbands to love their wives, to refrain from being harsh with them? And here's the answer. This command that's so familiar and even commonplace to us, that a husband would love his wife, it would have been as shocking and as controversial to the Colossian believers as Paul's command that wives should submit to their husbands is shocking and controversial to our current culture. I read this quote last week. This is a quote by William Barclay, and I'm going to have to read it again. And he talks about the status of women in the first century. And I'm going to read it one more time because it really helps us to understand that Paul is calling to the Colossian believers to something new, that the gospel really is changing these relationships in the home. So listen how William Barclay describes what it was like to be a wife in the first century. He says, "Under Jewish law, a woman was a thing. She was the possession of her husband, just as much as his house or his flocks or his material goods were. She had no legal right whatever. In Greek society, a respectable woman lived a life of entire seclusion. She never appeared on the streets alone, not even to go marketing. She lived in the women's apartments and did not join her menfolk even for meals. From her, there was demanded a complete servitude and chastity, but her husband could go out as much as he liked and incur no stigma. Both under Jewish and under Greek laws and custom, all the privileges belonged to the husband and all the duties to the wife. So that was the situation for women in both Jewish and Gentile homes before the gospel began to reshape the Christian household. But in the New Testament church, this begins to change. In Galatians 3:28, Paul says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So the members of the Christian home are now one in Christ, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is radically reshaping the relationships within that home. And we saw it last week with Paul's command to wives, and this reshaping continues with Paul's command to husbands in verse 19. So this morning, we're going to look at two reasons why we still need this command today. We're going to talk about how a husband should love his wife, and then we're going to look at three practical ways that a husband can show his love for his wife. So that's kind of the plan for this morning. The first reason the husbands still need this command is because many husbands are failing to lead their families. Many husbands are failing to lead their families. And I mentioned this last week. It was a common reason that wives may have trouble submitting to their husband. You know, husbands still need to hear the command to love their wives because many of us fail to lead our families. Last week, we read several passages in Genesis as we looked at God's design for gender. And we talked about God's good design for gender. And Genesis gives us this picture of Adam, who has been tasked with stewardship and care over God's creation, and of Eve, given to be with Adam as a helper, who came alongside Adam and who brought her gifts and her abilities to his, and then they carried out God's mission together. And so we kind of have this picture of these roles in Genesis, but many men don't step into this role, whether it's from not being sure where to begin, maybe they never saw this modeled in their home. Maybe some of us are just lazy. Maybe some of us are just exhausted. Maybe some of us feel like we've already got so much going on that we don't have the time or the energy to invest in our families. But too often, husbands aren't taking the initiative to lead their families spiritually. And when they fail to do this, there's nothing to invite their wives to come alongside of them in. So husbands, leading your family is part of loving your wife. The second reason that husbands still need to hear this command is because many husbands fail to lead their families with love. They fail to lead their families with love. There's an enormous difference between being a leader and being a tyrant. Husbands still need to hear this command to love their wives because many of us are guilty of leading our families in an unloving way. A good leader is not a king to be served and obeyed without question, but unfortunately, it's how many of us view leadership. We think of the leader as the one who calls all the shots. We think of the leader as the one who enjoys all the privileges of the position. You know, when a husband leads without love, everything begins to be about him. And so your family either becomes your vehicle for achieving your own happiness, or you begin to view your family as something that's in the way of your own happiness. And this was a problem in Paul's day, too, and it continues to be a problem in our own. The command for husbands to love their wives and to not be harsh with them may no longer be controversial, but this command is still just as challenging for husbands and is still just as needed today as it was when Paul first gave it. So then, how does a husband love his wife? And I'm going to read this. This is by a gentleman named Douglas Moo. He says, "The leadership that husbands rightly exhibit in marriage is not to be carried out harshly or selfishly, but lovingly. To love one's wife, therefore, will often mean to put her interests ahead of the husband's." So to love one's wife means to put her interests ahead of your own, and that's a hard thing for all of us to do. And William Hendrickson, when he was talking about this passage in Colossians, he says that the best commentary on this passage in Colossians is Paul's own commentary in Ephesians 5. So I want to read a little bit of Ephesians 5, where Paul talks about marriage there. This is Ephesians 5, 25 through 33. He says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So what we see in Ephesians 5 is that a husband is called to love his wife like Jesus loved the church. And this is a high and challenging calling. But what we don't want to do is to look at this verse and say, well, no one can do this, and then just move on with our lives. That's our response. Too often that's our response to commands that we find in Scripture that sound hard. We read a list of qualifications for officers, and we say, well, since no one can do this perfectly, then we obviously aren't meant to really pursue this. We come across a command like the one in 1 Peter, 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16, where he says, be holy as God is holy. And we decide, well, since we're counted as righteous in Christ, then all Peter really means is that we need to be making some sort of effort to avoid sin and just kind of do our, you know, maybe not even our best, just make an effort. And so when we encounter commands in Scripture, you know, yes, we remember that our salvation is secure in Christ, but these commands don't suddenly stop meaning anything. These commands don't suddenly become suggestions that require kind of a half-hearted effort. And that's Paul's point in Colossians 3. He says, you're claiming to follow Christ, so live like it. You know, this whole chapter in 3 is you claim to follow Christ. Let your life show that you follow Christ. Let the gospel transform your life. So when Paul tells husbands to love their wives and to not be harsh with them, he means it. And when in Ephesians 5, Paul tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, he means that too. And that's intimidating. Let that command intimidate you and challenge you as a husband. But don't write it off. You know, instead, let it drive you to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Ask him to help you to love your wife sacrificially, as Jesus did when he gave himself up for the church. Ask Jesus to help you to love your wife humbly. Jesus, the one who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, and he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. You know, ask Jesus to help you to love your wife by pursuing and working for her good instead of your own. Nourish her and cherish her as Christ does the church. You know, we don't tend to give this command much thought because we tend to think of the word love along kind of our own cultural lines. We essentially make the commandment, you know, husbands, like your wife and be nice to her. And we like that because that sounds doable. We can like our wife most days and we can be nice to her most of the time. But we like that version of the command, but that's not what Paul is saying here. That's not how Paul defines the word love for us in this passage. Paul defines love for us by pointing us to Jesus Christ. He points us to Christ and says, here's your example of how you are to love your wife. And so in Ephesians 5, husbands are called on to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And in Ephesians 5, husbands are called on to love their wives as they love their own bodies. And that is an incredibly challenging command. Husbands are commanded to love their wives. They're commanded to not be harsh with them. But before we go this morning, I want to give us three practical ways that a husband can show his love for his wife. And practical doesn't mean easy. It just means here's a way you can put this into practice. Sometimes the most simple commands, like we read, okay, love your wife. Like, okay, go ahead and do it. You know, we see it, and it's actually the things that we understand best are the ones that are hardest for us to obey sometimes. But here's three practical ways we can begin loving our wives. The first way that a husband can show his love for his wife is by caring for her. It's just by caring for her. And this care for your wife can be expressed in a number of different ways. It may look different in different stages of your lives together. But I want to mention just a few ways that you can care for your wife. A husband can care for his wife by praying for her. Men, when is the last time you sat down and prayed for your wife? When is the last time you've done this? Our wives need our prayers. Our wives need our prayers, whether they are spending that day taking care of children or going to work or taking care of a family member or catching up with some much-needed rest. You know, our wives need our prayers. Another way that we can care well for our wives is by praying with them. One of the best ways to let our wives know that we love them and that we care about them is to take time praying with them. Ask them how we can be praying for them. A third way that we can care for our wives is by setting aside time to spend with them. Most of us know that we are living our lives at a nearly unsustainable pace. Our days consist of usually rushing out the door. We grab a quick meal. We work or we go to school. We grab another quick meal. We might watch some TV. Finally, we go to bed exhausted. You know, so setting time aside for your wife is, in all of this, is a way to show her that you care about her. A husband can show He loves his wife by caring for her well. The second way that a husband can show his love for his wife is by caring for their family. And he can do this in many of the same ways. He can pray for his family. He can pray with his family. He can set aside time to spend with his family. And this, like I said, this will look different depending on how old your children are. It might look like family devotions together, even if it's just once a week. It may look like a phone call to an adult child saying, "How can I pray for you today?" It might look like playing tag in the backyard or playing with your kids or with your grandkids. But by spending time with your family, by praying with them, a husband can love his wife by caring for the family. And then the third way that a husband can show his love for his wife is by caring for himself. That one might sound counterintuitive, but it's not. one of the things that men tend to do is we tend to focus on all the things that need to be done, and then we ignore caring for our own souls. We like to be busy. Husbands, if you want to love your wives well, don't neglect to care for your own soul. You know, create habits, create rhythms of prayer and spending time reading the Bible in your life. Develop friendships with other men so that you can encourage each other in your relationship with the Lord. Find a man who has been married longer than you have and who can be a mentor for you. Find a man who's been married for less time than you that you can mentor. But if you want to love your wife, you want to love your family well, then get into the habit of spending time with the person who loves you the most. Invest in your relationship with the Lord. So this morning I've mentioned kind of three ways that a husband can show his love for his wife. But there's certainly more. There's certainly more ways than these I've mentioned. You know, our culture expects a husband to love his wife. We expect a husband to love his wife. But when you define love as self-sacrificing and humble and working for her good and putting her interests ahead of your own, we realize that it's only through Jesus Christ. It's only through the gospel, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us that we can begin to love our wives this way. So husbands, much like last week when we talked about, well, how do we do these things? How do we fulfill this call? As we seek to love our wives, let us continue placing our confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul has reminded us of again and again in this book. The gospel and the confidence we have in Christ allows us to obey this command. It allows us to put off the old man. It allows us to put on the new as the gospel transforms our hearts and our relationships beginning within our home. And we can rest in Christ knowing that we're secure in his hands even as we seek to fulfill this call on our lives. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you call us to hard things. We thank you that you don't just call us to them and then leave us to figure it out on our own. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your people. We thank you that we have access to you through your son. We ask, Lord, that you would strengthen us in our marriages, strengthen us in our homes. Help the men and husbands in this place today to continue leading well. Help us to be an encouragement to one another, Lord. And we thank you for the grace you show us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, please stand with me, and we're going to sing hymn number 461, "He Leadeth Me."